southern Sudan votes on independence. The result could have big economic implications.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today is the second day of a week-long referendum asking people in southern Sudan if they want independence from the country's government in Khartoum. The vote is part of an agreement ending years of civil war, and the referendum carries big economic implications for both the North and the South. The BBC's James Copnall joins us now from Khartoum. Good morning.
Good morning.
So give us a sense of the mood there in both the North and the South as this historic vote continues.
Well, I think the mood in the South can only really be described as euphoric. Southerners have waited, in some cases, decades, gone through two very bitter civil wars, the second one of which cost 2 million lives, and now they feel they have their chance to decide their future, which will almost certainly be independence. The mood in the North is much more downbeat, people coming to the realization that a large part of their country, and indeed of their economy, is about to split away. They love to say that Sudan is Africa's biggest country, 1 million square miles. Well, not for much longer.
And it's also one of Africa's biggest oil producers. What are the economic implications here?
Potentially, the implications are very damaging for northern Sudan. The south accounts for almost three-quarters of Sudan's oil. That oil, then, revenue is going to disappear from northern banks. The one consolation for the north is that the economic infrastructures go through the north, the refineries, the pipelines. So there'll probably be some sort of deal between both sides on economic grounds. But the northern economy will take a real blow. Already, the finance minister has said that they won't be able to pay subsidies on foodstuffs and other imported goods to help out a beleaguered population. And the south, well, it'll have to diversify away from oil, which represents about 97% of its revenue, because the oil is slated to run out in 20 to 30 years.
The BBC's James Copnall in Khartoum, Sudan. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Today, Visteon, a car parts maker that was once part of Ford, will start trading at the New York Stock Exchange. Again, the company spent a little more than a year in bankruptcy and emerged in October. As Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports, Visteon's return to the NYSE is one more sign that the auto industry is regaining some traction.
During the financial crisis, it seemed like the auto parts business really could collapse. But it didn't. The auto industry is making a comeback, and parts makers are going along for the ride. Kim Korth runs a consulting company called IRN.
They reduced so much of their capacity and their cost structure during the downturn that when the industry came back much stronger than people expected, they're just making a lot of money right now.
It's similar to what we saw in the auto industry. Companies shut plants, laid off workers, and cut costs, and now they're earning more money with lower production. John Hanke is at a consultancy called Planning Perspectives, which works with parts makers. He says suppliers are doing better, but a lot of them are still being cautious.
They're just not going to hire. They're going to just expand production using the same people because we just are too uncertain.
He says they're worried about getting access to credit, and they're afraid the car market's recovery could still stall. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are lower this morning across Europe and Asia. Stocks are down more than 1.5% right now in Paris. We're expecting a big announcement from Verizon tomorrow. And yes, it's the one about the iPhone. Verizon is finally expected to start offering service for the iPhone, which up until now has only been available with AT&T. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 22 points to close at 11,674.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com.
Tonight, Oregon and Auburn will square off in college football's BCS championship game. But before a single player has stepped onto the field, many fans are already tasting defeat. That's because the ticket-selling website StubHub allowed hundreds of tickets to be sold, even though they never actually existed. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, David Nogueras reports.
If you're looking to go to a sold-out sports event or music concert, and you're not comfortable buying a scalped ticket in the parking lot, thanks to the internet, there are options. StubHub is one of the big players. This year's BCS title had been shaping up to be the biggest moneymaker in the history of StubHub. Head of Communications Glenn Lehrman says that all changed when sellers began to let them know they didn't actually have some of the tickets they sold.
And ordinarily, you know, if something like this happens, we're able to source the tickets from, you know, a variety of locations and able to take care of that. But in this instance, because tickets had become so expensive and so scarce, it was just almost impossible at this point.
With an average cost of $1,100 a ticket, StubHub did something it had never done before. It shut down the event on its site and emailed customers who already received their tickets, offering to buy them back for three times what they paid. StubHub now says they bought back enough tickets to cover all the unfulfilled orders. How much did that cost?
I can't give exact numbers, but let's just say it's a lot of money.
But then again, the secondary ticket market brings in about $3 billion a year. Sucharita Malpuru is an analyst for Forrester Research. She says at the center of that market are the ticket brokers.
A lot of these brokers have relationships with season ticket holders that they think that they can take advantage of. And sometimes in cases like this, situations get a little bit out of hand.
None of the brokers contacted for the story would agree to go on the air, but one said it's common for brokers to sell tickets they don't have, with the hope of buying them cheaper later on from panicky sellers. It's kind of like a short sale. But this guy's company lost about $80,000 because not enough fans were willing to part with their tickets, no matter how high prices got. In Oregon, I'm David Nogueras for Marketplace.
All right, finally, from football tickets to movie tickets, you'd think in 2011 we'd be flocking to the theaters to see movies about internet startups or aliens or futuristic stuff like that. Well, you'd be wrong. The movie that topped the box office over the weekend was True Grit. The Coen Brothers movie starring Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon has now brought in $110 million. It's the first Western to top $100 million since Unforgiven and Dances with Wolves back in the 90s. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A lot of things are made in China. Soon, though, you might need to add that morning cup of joe to the list. The reason we've worked with companies like Nestle and Starbucks here is to learn their skills, management, and brand building. One day, we'll have our own famous brand.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the China Blend. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.